It was 50 years ago that the Science Citation Index was launched. What is now the Web of Science is the world's largest accessible citation database, containing millions of citations from scholarly books, journals, and conference proceedings. Joining us today is David Pendlebury, a citation analyst with Thomson Reuters IP and Science. David, thank you very much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure.
David, as I mentioned, the Web of Science, of course, is the world's largest database of scientific citations. How has citation data impacted or influenced scientific discovery? How is this data used?
Well, it's made a revolutionary impact on information retrieval and performance analysis in science. On the side that we sometimes call search, it's added greater accuracy and better efficiency to a researcher's attempt to find information they need in order to do their work. The reason for that is that it depends very closely on the standards that the scientists pursue themselves when they write their publications. They append to those publications references which indicate acknowledgments of credit to others who have helped them complete their own research. So Gene Garfield, when he advanced the idea of a citation index for scientists, wanted to exploit those expert references added to those publications because he understood that they constituted a network of communication and that if you navigated that network, you would have an efficient and an accurate mechanism to find research of interest to you.
So it literally is, as I think others have used the phrase, doing research by standing on the shoulders of giants, it sounds like. Now, when you use the term science, of course, what first pops to mind is what maybe people might consider the hard sciences, chemistry, physics, things of that nature. But is it limited to that, or can this also apply to, say, social sciences or the humanities or studies such as those?
Certainly, it does apply to other fields of research as well. In 1973... Gene Garfield launched the Social Sciences Citation Index, which is part of the Web of Science today. In 1976, the Arts and Humanities Citation Index. So the principle is the same. Let me give you an example. If you know a work of research, could be a book, could be a journal article, and you know it's relevant to your own research, you can look that up in a citation index and find what later works have cited that earlier work. Therefore, you can in fact search forward in time and make a complete analysis of ongoing research from the item that you know so well or that you want to look up in the first place.
And maybe, David, could you provide us an example? If I'm a research scientist in any given field, and if I'm working on a research project, you know, how might I use the Web of Science?
Well, some people, in fact, use the Web of Science in a manner that they use other databases, non-citation indexes. They can look up an author name, they can look up a journal title, they can see what's published in that journal, they can look up a term, autism, for instance, and find articles that in their title, in their abstract, or in some of the keywords, mention that term or that subject. But with a citation index, you can perform a search or a navigation of the network of communication among researchers. Sometimes that's backward in time through the cited references. Sometimes that's forward in time from the citing articles. So the most powerful use, I would say, of a citation index is one that exploits the citations. But you can do traditional search as well using our index.
Over the last 50 years that's covered the Web of Science, 50 years ago, of course, there not only was no internet, but even among academics, computers were somewhat of a rarity. And if you were lucky enough to maybe be a researcher at a university that had a timeshare computer, perhaps you would get some share of computing time at your disposal. So how has citation indexation and analysis practices changed during the last 50 years?
Well, the formal citation of earlier work in publications has not changed too much. Even though there are different means of distributing scientific articles these days, the traditional format remains. In terms of our own database, it has gone through changes in terms of format. Of course, the original was printed in book form. Then it was released on magnetic tape. You mentioned the dial-up service, which came in the 70s. Eventually, it moved to CD-ROMs, and then finally to the internet itself. I would say that, yes, faster computing power, greater storage, telecommunications advances, all have made it much easier to access and use that information very quickly.
So it's clearly been a very exciting 50 years for citation indexing and specifically the Web of Science. Where do you see things going forward from here?
Well, I can see a future in which we won't be looking at screens anymore. We'll be looking at holographic displays. We'll be able to reach out and touch and manipulate the information, sort it, do various kinds of analysis, even with our hands. That's the far future, perhaps, but not too far. So we will continue to exploit the most advanced technology available, just as Jean Garfield did at each step when that technology became available and practical. In terms of content for our database, we will see more content. As science itself is becoming more global, we are reaching out to index journals that have regional and increasingly international impact from China, from Latin America, from Korea. We are keeping pace with the open access version of publishing these days. We are exploring new indicators, such as usage indicators, not just formal citations in the literature. There are a whole variety of new measures of influence or impact under the rubric altmetrics that we are looking at. We've already started to index data collections, which are of more and more importance as researchers share large amounts of data with one another. That is already a part of the Web of Science. Blogs and commentaries, all kinds of scholarly communication, we will keep up with that, just as Jean Garfield did over the years.
So as we see these developments take hold, both in terms of the gathering of the data, its indexing and citing, but also, as you mentioned, how people can access and manipulate that data, what do you see as the benefits of this? How will this help the further advancement of scientific research?
Well, I talked about a greater accuracy in search. I talked about a greater efficiency in the time it takes to do that search and find the right articles, but in a broader sense, this contributes to the more effective management of science itself and the use of resources that support science. You can think about it a little bit like return on investment in economic terms. So universities, government agencies, private funders all want to be able to allocate their support for science in the most efficient way. And our high-quality data contribute in a very important way to helping those funders make those decisions. Sometimes it is funding, sometimes it's appointments, sometimes it's promotions, but it has a very important purpose in the management of science.
Well, it's been an absolutely remarkable and exciting 50 years, and we're looking forward to see what the next 50 years will bring. David, fascinating discussion. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Leonard.
David Pendlebury is a citation analyst with Thomson Reuters IP and Science.